Ladies and gentlemen of the press, we appreciate your coming this morning. As you know, we intended to file an election challenge in the Ohio Supreme Court this morning at 10:30. At 2 o'clock this morning, the four lawyers who were working on the document decided that it was not feasible to file at 10:30 this morning. We would like to file tomorrow, but we're not guaranteeing it, but Monday at the latest. We intend to file tomorrow. In terms of the complaint that's going to be filed, we are going to be alleging under information and belief that when the votes are accurately counted in the judicial context, that the vote will swing in the presidential race instead of being showing Bush ahead by 130-some thousand votes, it will show Kerry ahead by 130,000 votes. In the course of, once we file the litigation, aggressive discovery will proceed and we'll get to the truth. I want to reemphasize once again, as we did at the previous press conference, that the purpose here is not partisan. The purpose here is not destructive toward anyone, and we invite all candidates, we invite the Bush campaign and the Kerry campaign, to join and cooperate in a nonpartisan effort to find the truth, gather the facts, and assure the public, and assure both candidates, that this is an honest election. I now want to introduce Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jesse Jackson. Reverend Jackson has, as you know, assumed a position in his role as a national leader in the important civil rights struggle in this country, has assumed a position of leadership, political leadership in this effort. And I know that I and my wife and the others that are working on this effort have joined the Rainbow PUSH Coalition. PUSH stands for People United for Saving Humanity, which is certainly a worthy goal that we should all want to be part of. And we should all recognize in that regard that our presidential election affects not just this country, but all the citizens of the world. And therefore, it's absolutely essential that the person who assumes the mantle of that office have the full confidence of our public and the world community that it was an honest election. And that is our effort to assure. And I'd like to introduce Reverend Jackson to say a few words, and then all of us will be prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Well, thank you very much. Let me express my thanks to Attorney on the back and the other attorneys who are here, to Reverend Washington, the ministers of the gospel who are here, and Senator, Ohio residents. I marched for the right to vote in Selma, Alabama in 1965. There's an unbroken line between Selma, Alabama, and Columbus, Ohio. It's not a straight line, it's a jagged line. Because those who sought to deny us the right to vote for 346 years, 1619 to 1965, never gave up. We got the state's right to vote in 1965, not the constitutional individual federally protected right to vote. Thus, voting was left in the hand of states. 50 state separate and unequal elections with different counters using different schemes and different machineries, offering schemes to suppress rather than encourage votes. 1965. It took us 25 years to overcome the schemes of gerrymandering, annexation, at large, roll purging, and voter intimidation schemes to begin to get reasonable representation by 1990. The schemes of suppression have never really stopped. As we observed in 2004 in Florida, I registered students to vote at Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman. We went to vote and the names were not on the rolls and they were turned back. Hispanic voters, farm workers, Haitian workers who spoke Creole, Americans, couldn't get language support. They were threatened with deportation when they could not vote. In Duval County in Jacksonville, Florida, the 27,000 votes came in after the deadline. And after all of the shenanigans there, the case finally went to the Supreme Court, and they said two basic things. One was that that we don't have the federal constitutional right to vote. We have a state's right to vote. And they stopped the process on Friday, reopened it on Monday, only to say at 10 a.m., Mrs. Harris, Secretary of State, you have the power. She says, well, at 12 o'clock, the process ends. And so by stop count, it ended with thousands of, in fact, uncounted votes. The legislature then says something exceptional. It said, even if Mr. Gore gets the most votes, we will give the Electoral College votes to George Bush. That we will use the Electoral College power to defy popular will. Most Americans at that point thought that we all voted for the presidents. We really vote in our states. The Electoral College determines the winner. So in light of all of that going on and the embarrassment around the world, we passed something called the Help America Vote Act in a way to even the playing field, because the court said one difficulty they had was different standards in different counties. So fast forward to Ohio. The Help America Vote Act was designed to create a uniform process to help Americans vote through provisional process. If you get to your polling place, and that's a shift in the precinct, there has been a mistake. You are provided with access. That means in the state of Ohio, you should have access anywhere in your county. But they shifted it to mean a precinct. I've gone to places in Ohio where you had three precincts in one building, indeed in one room. If you went to table A and your name was not there, rather than send you to table C, they say you had to fill out a provisional ballot. That complicated the system. It made it less accessible as opposed to more. And so one reason that we're standing today, December the 2nd, a month after the election has not been certified, a month later. Why has it taken a month? Because of irregularities, inconsistencies, and inconveniences. The Provisional Voting Act, each county has basically used its own scheme for counting and discounting voters. Each county has had different machines, some punch cards, some scanner. So the playing field is not even for voters in Ohio. It's taken a month, and yet there is not yet a count. Well, between provisional voting and unprocessed voting, because sometime machinery broke down, or become time there were, whether it was the machinery breaking down, or whether it was the chads, as it were. Plus the issue of absentee voting and that of military voting, we were not prepared. Lastly, what I found to be astounding on election day as I traveled the state is that some citizens in Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, stood in the rain 4 to 6 hours to vote. While there were machines inside some warehouses unused, suburban citizens had far easier access to voting. That itself is a civil rights issue. I further found that there are many questions by people with affidavits questioning the integrity of the electronic machinery. We need, therefore, to have forensic computer experts to see, in fact, was there machine tampering? Why would we express some doubt? But whenever you have a system where the person who is head of the machinery, the Secretary of State, and the co-chair of a given campaign, you build in partisanship, which reduces credibility. If Ohio State played Michigan a football game on Saturday in Ann Arbor, and the athletic director for Michigan was the chief referee, would undermine the credibility of any critical call. No Secretary of State should be a partisan in election of this magnitude. But it's not just Mr. Blackwell. It shouldn't happen anywhere. Catherine Harris in Florida, it shouldn't happen anywhere. You simply should not have the reasonable doubt cast over an election because those running the machinery have themselves a vested interest in the winner or in the the outcome. Lastly, what I thought to be one beside the exit polling issue was the Ellen Connolly situation. Here's an African-American woman running for Supreme Court out of Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, in the county where she is best known, most well-known. Kerry got 120,000 more votes than she got. Down around Cincinnati, Hamilton County, in that area, in 15 counties, she got 190,000 more votes than Kerry got. It is at least suggestive enough for us, in fact, to have a thorough investigation as to the integrity of the process. We cannot very well have positions on the credibility of an election in Ukraine and bomb for democracy in Iraq and not have a credible, open, free, fair, unquestioned election in our own country. To that extent, we support this lawsuit for a thorough investigation. If the facts warrant it, then a recount. Those in charge of this particular election, since it's under contest, should be recused from the process. And that's not personal, it's just that those in charge of the system, in fact, should not be evaluating themselves. Thank you.
There are a number of lawyers here that are working on this from a number of viewpoints. There are no
victory for Kerry. Are you pulling those numbers out of the air? Can you really say, well, here's how we get that extra 260,000
county
votes?
By county. That will be in the complaint. County by county. A statement as to where, how many votes migrated. County by county.
Are you relying on these differences between Kerry and Connolly, or are you looking at other Supreme Court candidates, or what's the exact method of what's holding up this theory?
The holding up of that theory is based upon the fact that there were two competitive statewide races in Ohio in the 2004 election. The Chief Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court and the presidential race. And this analysis that relies upon using the Supreme Court race as a benchmark. And when we talk about comparison and performance, we're not talking in absolute terms, we're talking in terms of performance in the margin in those two races. And all of this is laid out in an article in the Free Press, freepress.org, an article by Steve Rosenfeld. And it will be further elaborated in the course of the pleadings and in the discovery in this case.
How do you compare a race that had $1 million of spending with less than 100,000 of it, your candidate, Ellen Connolly, to a presidential election in this state with over $70 million of television media, much of it in Cleveland, Kerry? I mean, he put more money into the Cleveland media market than any in the state. How do you get this to be a valid benchmark?
That's the question of the day, because the performance in the southern part of the state has that underfunded candidate outperforming in a very large order of magnitude the presidential candidate that had all that funding. It makes no sense. There's only one logical explanation, and that is migration of votes. Now, how did that migration of votes occur? That's why we have discovery. We'll find out whether it's the tabulating machines. We'll find out whether it's in somebody just took a spreadsheet and deducted 120,000 votes from Kerry and moved him over to Bush, or how it happened. But that's why you have, in a lawsuit, that's why you have discovery.
Is there anything in this delay that you can tell us about? Was there late information?
First of all, recognize that we are not a presidential campaign. None of the voters here were geared up for litigation. We are a grassroots organization. The legal team is grassroots, assembled long after the election was over. And we are receiving help from people all over the world, but in terms of actually formally preparing the lawsuit, as you know, under the lawyers are under a different, you just don't write an opinion piece. We're under rules that require that everything, every allegation that's made has to be based upon careful research and documentation, and a good faith belief based upon that documentation. And we also need to be clear. We need to be persuasive. We need to be clear. And we decided at 2 a.m. this morning that yes, we could get it in this morning, but not in the form that we felt was going to. It was suitable or adequate to the job that we feel obligated to do for the American public.
Well, given what happened in 2000, we had the time to have a uniform system in the state. We had the time to have a system without questions or flaws about the integrity of electronic machines, but the time to create an even playing field. So whether you were in Lima or whether you were in Cleveland or Akron or Canton, that you had the same system. So we have a state with 88 counties and different systems. And the integrity of machines, some of which are hackable, are being challenged. We can explain rationally why in Warren, Ohio, there would be a Homeland Security alert and a lockdown and lock out the press and independent observers as if there's some Bin Laden threat in Warren, Ohio. And when all of the dust clears, here we stand December the 2nd, a month later, without a certified election. Suppose this happened in 49 other states. Is this acceptable to have a month delay in certifying an election? And much of that which is in contest was predicted. That's why last year you had 30,000 voters were being disenfranchised because of the wrong weight of paper. Then you have the court case. Shall you count provisional ballots by, you can vote within the county or within the precinct? Many people come to vote. It's just a will to be in the democracy. Some of them cannot read and write so well. Some of them cannot dot every I and cross every T. But they will to be a part of our democracy. And it seems that we're using extraordinary schemes of suppression, denying the common people their right to express their choice. And frankly, I'm not here on behalf of Kerry. I'm here on the process of democracy. Unless we stop the precedent now of such abounding irregularities, it will just continue. That's why we need to review the whole system. And in fact, again, revisit the issue of Americans should have the constitutionally federally protected right to vote and not be left in the hands of secretaries of state and the whim of various county leaders.
The Kerry campaign had 3,000 lawyers on the ground before and after the election in Ohio and says it has no evidence there was fraud that would have overturned the results. Do you have evidence they don't?
Our analysis reaches an opposite conclusion. We will test our analysis in court. The diligence and competence, et cetera, with which they did their analysis, we can't evaluate that. In response to Jim Drew's question, we have not been offered any assistance, and we've not received any assistance from the Kerry campaign. We would welcome assistance from the Bush campaign and the Kerry campaign, or anyone else. And we are receiving a great deal of assistance from people all over the world, emails sending analysis and comment and suggestions from people, Americans traveling in foreign countries. Bob Fetrakis has probably gotten an extraordinary amount of statistical support from all kinds of major academic universities in this country. So we're getting a lot of help. We're not getting any help from the Bush campaign. We're not getting any help from the Kerry campaign.
Explain why you're standing and your investigations and discovery exceed the time period for which the Electoral College meets on December 13th, or in fact, when Congress certifies the election in early January. Will the trial proceed, and what do you think would be the consequences of it taking that long?
We have a legal strategy for dealing with the issue you're raising in terms of the attempt to compress the time frame in which this can be completed, and that will be clear as we file our pleadings.
Governor Jackson, do you think Secretary of State Blackwell reprogrammed the computers or had it ordered? How do you think
I do not think that. I choose not to challenge his integrity. He is the driver of a system. the system needs to be challenged. You should not have the one who is in charge of conducting a non-partisan election be overtly partisan, point A, and be within that system. The Help America Vote Act was supposed to make voting more accessible, but the way this has been implemented by precinct rather than by county, it has made it less accessible and more confusing. That should have been worked out. The idea, removing 30,000 before the election even started in the name of the wrong way the paper itself was highly suggestive, for example. But I think we would make a mistake to get focused on personal attacks and the like. And this is not about one's personal integrity, it's about a system. And why is it taking a month? A month? It's not because he's lazy, not because he's dishonest. It's a month because of irregularities and inconveniences and confusion. Can you imagine 50 states having the Ohio 1 month later without certification? That would be utter confusion.
As you look at it, do you have any theories on how the computers or how the machines could have been basically turned around?
Oh yeah, there have been substantial scientific evidence of how machines can be tampered with and how they can be hacked. And that's why you need forensic computer analysts to allay that fear. When you have machines where you cannot get an audit count, and the machines are privately owned for a federal election, that itself lends itself to more confusion. I mean, 88 states and 88 systems with different machinery and different standards, that's not good. And it's not personal. And I wish that Mr. Blackwell, when asked, himself would focus on the legitimacy of our concerns, not reduce it to personal attacks. I will not do that because we deserve better leadership than that on the matter so critical to the destiny of our country and the integrity of our democracy. But that's what is at stake here. Given Florida and now Ohio, can we run America an open, free, fair, credible election? We're not doing a good job of it in the last two elections.
Will there be any effort to address the issue of voters who did not have the opportunity to cast their votes, who may have been disenfranchised through any number of means and discouraged from voting on election day?
I'm not sure how deep you're going that, but a number of people came to us up there today who punched one and got person got another. Two ladies upstairs, they went. One woman went to vote with her child at 6:30, and she got out the voting booth at 9:30. She just stayed. Well, actually, the lines that long is a form of voter suppression, particularly when some counties you had machines in warehouses that were not being used. And the person, if one who lived in the suburb, who voted routinely within 30 minutes, it may be difficult to imagine standing in the rain 4 to 6 hours as some other people did. All we really want is an even playing field. You know, the beauty of when Ohio State plays Michigan and one team wins and one team loses, but there's never any lasting fight after the game. Why? Because the playing field is even, and the rules are public, and the goals are clear, and the referees are not from either school. That's how you have a credible arrangement.
But in precise answer to your question, Evan, yes, that will be part of the complaints.
A week or so ago, when the first thing that you talked about in terms of your evidence was the exit polls differing from the actual results. Now today you've said something different. You said that has to do with the Ellen Conley race and the unusual differences there. Is that your main course now?
The both are consistent. The exit polls are consistent with the statistical evidence that we've developed. So we have two objective sources of evidence pointing in the same direction and contradicting. The result announced by this partisan machinery we have for our elections in Ohio at this time.
Let me say this as we close. No matter the outcome, the integrity of the process is in question. And we should be beyond that now. No matter the outcome, we must end the precedent of this kind of confusion in critical states about a national election. We need a federal standard for our federal elections, that in fact Congress has a more significant role in helping determine that standard. They thought they made a step in that direction with the Help America Vote Act, but it was implemented on a state by state basis, and then counted by county machinery. So even that gesture of 2002, frankly, has not worked. Thank you very much.
How's it going?
Question, if there's any question relative to voter fraud, any group, any organization, or any individual that has that information, I'm in support of that. And I think all of us are in support of that. I think it's incumbent upon all of us to make sure that if these suspicions are real, if these suspicions bear out, then we in the legislature have a duty to change the law to make sure it's secure and make sure that people's votes are counted.
Don't the lawsuits, though?
We believe that there was a exclusion of votes, of the counting of votes, by what I would call a precinct shuffle. In Cuyahoga and Summit County, people were intentionally, confusion was created in terms of what precinct they could vote in, and then they were told that they could vote in any precinct, and then their votes are excluded because they didn't vote in the right precinct. There was also intimidation of voters in Cuyahoga County. There is so much wrong that occurred in this election that our problem is it's too much evidence. But we will deal with that, and we'll try to be as concise and clear as possible, and we'll get to it in an efficient way that can be done in a timely fashion so as to, as best we can, make this the best and honest election, most honest election we can accomplish in the time we're allowed.
Let me also say this. I think that what has been overlooked really is the provocative nature of challengers from another side of town without any evidence going into people's precincts challenging their address. That was a race targeting dimension of this. Can you imagine a group of African Americans going into a white community inside the precinct challenging the address of people who live there? That should not happen, and it would not happen, and it must not happen to anybody. All we really want today is an open, free, fair election. We want a fair count. And why is it that a month after November 2nd, here we stand asking for a certified election? That is a reasonable request.
Is there a reason why? I'm sorry, I'm from Plain Dealer.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just wondering if John Kerry shouldn't be making taking these actions, and a lot of people are questioning the legitimacy of the, calls for recount.
He should. He promised, given Florida, that he would hang in there until every vote was counted. It is not divisive to assure every American that their vote counts. This is democracy at its best. I think he should take a more visible position. And his lawyers, in fact, should be here arguing the people's case for the people's vote. And no matter what the outcome is, ultimately, every vote must count and everybody matters.
Is there a reason why?
I do not know. Well, I mean, I don't want to speculate on the politics of his decision.
Have you encountered any actual opposition? Have people been speaking out against your efforts, and have any efforts been made to stall your efforts?
Well, I'm sure that those who like the outcome are pleased, and any challenge or protest is seen negative, but it's not meant that way. We can accept the loser or the winner. We can't accept disenfranchisement. That's what this issue is today. I don't know who will win. Except December 2nd, we do not have a certified election. We don't know provisional balloting and standards vary from county to county. Unprocessed ballots, absentee ballots, military ballots, machine integrity, exit poll gaps. We don't know that.